All right, after the end of the podcast, stick around. We have actually this really crazy interview with a guy named John Collins Black.
Oh, yeah.
Who has hidden a secret treasure, actually a bunch of treasure, all around America. And he's got a book that tells you clues to go and find it, and it's worth like millions of dollars. So the interview is after the closing jingle. You don't want to turn off the podcast.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
It's version three.
The podcast, the podcast.
Carson doesn't like it.
Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
You don't like this version of the theme?
Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome around here to the Rural Radio Ranch.
Yes, it's all right.
Yeah, it's just not your thing.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah.
I got my gold, though.
I know who's been naughty and nice.
We called Santa the other day, and it was some recording or whatever, and he closed the phone call with,
I know who's been naughty and nice.
And it was a little creepy.
I have many skills.
It's very creepy.
I will find you.
I know.
Anyway. It's weird. It's only we're actually doing this podcast with 5 days left to go from Christmas. And people always ask me all the time, hey, why do you shop for Christmas so early? It's because of right now. I'm watching people scramble to get gifts. I'm watching people try to make things happen at the last minute. And they stress and all of that. That's why I try to figure out my budget ahead of time. And usually get done shopping by August at the latest, so everybody's taken care of. And that way I can enjoy the holiday and not have any stress whatsoever. It's nice.
It's so funny to me.
Why?
Because you are late to everything.
Except Christmas.
But Christmas, you are like, August, we done, yo.
Well, it's,
I tell you to meet me in a hotel lobby at 9:45. I'll see you at 11. But Christmas, I'm on.
I'm so glad you got to experience that.
We missed a flight once. So
Oh. My favorite, though, if I may, is the I don't even know. In Michigan, it was, I think. Wasn't it in Michigan? We had to fly to Detroit.
Is this when we were going to the Vegas thing with the listeners?
Yes.
Yeah,
the radio station.
We were in Detroit.
Did this whole promotion for like 3 months. Go to the NFRs in Vegas with Big D and Bubba on a chartered private jet. And so we did that for 3 months. And somebody, you know, a couple won. And so we flew from Nashville to Detroit, and we were going to meet with the winners the next day.
In the morning at the airport.
And fly on a charter jet to Vegas. We didn't have to hang out with them the entire, like, you know, they're going to do their thing. It's just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
So we got there late. It was late at night. We had a lot of stuff going on, and we were driving around. I mean, we were trying to find a studio,
weren't
we?
We had to drive all the way out to Dearborn.
Yeah.
Because we knew a guy who had a studio. We had to cut some things for some of our other radio station affiliates that had to happen.
Had to have it.
Oh,
I'm sure it was partly cloudy, 75. Just had to have the weather. My God, what are people going to do?
So,
that cuts so deep. It's so true.
Oh, it is. Oh, we'll talk about that too. But yeah, so we have to drive all the way out. It takes us forever to track down. Now, this is on a Friday. And so we have to track down radio people on a weekend who are like the first people to leave their office because they're so lazy. We track down a place. We get to a studio in Dearborn. We drive all the way out. We do the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then
we got in late.
So we got in there late. Then to go to Dearborn, it was like 90 minutes away from where we were. So we get back, and it's like 2:33 in the morning.
Early.
And, you know, that's...
We had a, I don't know, that's like a
7 a.m. flight or something.
Something early. So I'm like, hey, you know, meet you in the lobby or whatever.
So, see you at 4.
And so, 3:50, I'm there. 3:55, and I feel it. I know it. I just know it. I texted him. Cause I don't want to be like naggy or something.
Dude, he's a grown
man.
Have to be.
He's a grown man. I don't need... Anyway, it's 4 o'clock. It's 4:05. I text nothing. 4:10. 4:15. I finally go to the guy. I go, hey, man, can you pull up? Can you call the room? Phone rings, nothing. Finally, I don't know how long it. I went to your room banging on the door, I think. Anyway, we get out, our long story, and we get to the airport to meet the people there. The plane took off. It's already gone. We're like, oh, great.
So now we're stuck in Detroit with no flight home because our flight home was from Vegas. So we're like, well, do we get to Vegas? Do we try to book something to go to Vegas? And you know, at least...
I was having none of it.
No.
I was like, no, I'm going home, bro. I said, you can call the general manager and the program director, and you can tell them why that we're not on that plane with these two people.
Well, it was because somebody needed time and temperature, you know.
All right.
High school football scores.
But anyway, so...
that hurt me.
But no, he got all his Christmas done early, though.
Well, it's, you know, that's the thing, is priorities. People do... Everything in life is priorities. You can always tell... what people love by what they get done.
Hey, Bubba, it's the day after the CMAs. Oh, sorry, I turned off my alarm.
That's right.
I know.
That's the best. That's the best. Here we are, 500 episodes.
Wow.
500 episodes of podcast.
And you know what? We're late to the 500 party. We should have been done because we've skipped a couple. Yeah. We've skipped a couple podcasts. So we should have been at 500, maybe 400 episodes ago.
Think about how many that is. 500 episodes that we have done. We do it once a week.
Yeah.
And we've done 500.
That's
what's the
500
average?
Weeks.
What's the average that.
Number 52 is, weeks in a year.
Oh, no. The average of podcasts that reach 10%.
Yeah, isn't it like.
Or episodes?
I don't even think they reach 10. Yeah, I think you're right.
I think if so many people start it. And
what
like,
is the percentage of podcasts that reach 10 episodes? I'm asking Siri because she'll know. 32% hit 10 episodes. Let me do this. What is the number of podcasts that hit, not number, what is the percentage of podcasts that hits 100 episodes?
Okay.
less than 4%.
Less than 4.
Less than 4%.
At 100.
100. Mm-hmm. We've done that now 5 times.
I bet 500 it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just not a lot. But, you know, Bubba got onto the podcast game early. He was like, yeah, we got to do this, man. It's going to be a thing. And so we started doing that early before... Really, we were doing... I was like, no one even knows what we're doing. Like, we would tell people on the air, hey, we have a podcast. They'd be like, No one even... They don't know. That back then, no one knew what a podcast... And even still today, people like... may know what they've heard it, but they yeah. How many people actually listen to podcasts?
Well, I mean,
a lot now, but a lot of people.
But
don't.
Back in the day, I mean, it was a hard sell to get Big D to go. Wait, so we're going to do this, and maybe five people might listen.
Yeah,
So I'm looking now.
We're at nine now. Nine people.
So 100 episodes, 6.52% hit that milestone. 200, 2% actually hit that milestone. It does not say anything past 200 episodes. There are no numbers whatsoever. There's no metric for that.
It's just like me when I get have to go weigh myself. Just as far as it goes, buddy.
Well, you mentioned the podcast. There have been people over the course of the week that have texted into the show and said, I'm listening to the podcast while I'm driving for the holidays, while I'm traveling.
So many people do that. You know, we have, okay, a couple things. We have a Big D and Bubba app. It's free. Droid, Android, also for iPhone. And it's cool because you can listen to the show no matter where you are, if you're on the road. That way, you can pick a time zone even. But you can also send us voice messages, and they come right to us here in the studio. You can also listen to the podcast episodes that way. So, I mean, you've got that. You've got YouTube, where we now, I think we started in the 100s or maybe. Hey, Garrett, how far back do the YouTube podcast things go?
I was actually just looking recently. Hold on. Let
me see. It's not a whole bunch. I mean, because we started that late doing the video because we were doing them on, I think we were doing them on Periscope when that was a thing. Wow. And we would do them live there.
I liked Periscope.
I did too.
I just remember that was really great. I
hated the alert for it.
Why?
It was like whistle. A whistle. It was scary. Yeah, because I would have alerts set on Periscope, and I'd be out in the middle of the woods walking my dog by myself.
You hear some
and
guy.
I hear somebody whistling. I'm like, I'm about to die. And I realize, like, oh, Danny McKellar went live. Like, what am I doing following Winnie Cooper? Come on.
The first podcast was on March 18th, 2021, episode 330.
Wow.
So first one on YouTube.
330 in before we even hit YouTube with it.
Huh. Yeah, a lot of people, like you're saying, to start at number one and go through it, kind of follow the story.
It's interesting, too, to you know, follow the evolution of the podcast, because in the original podcast, it was us just talking about, hey, we're radio dudes who happen to be also running a business. And we would talk about just like dumb businessy things. And then it got to where we would have guests on every so often. I remember like we had the 101st Airborne in for episode 101. We had different like Marcus Luttrell and those guys would come on, and Goggins. And then we started dipping into the country artist because, you know, it was that. But then this whole thing just, I don't know how we got to 500 episodes with no plan.
Well, it's
because we don't turn the mic on with an outline. Like most shows, they have an outline of here are the topics we're going to cover. We don't. Yeah. And you can tell.
It's very free. Yeah, it's free form. And I don't know. I kind of think it's, I used to be like, we should really be more. And then I'm like,
structured.
Yeah. And then I'm like, well, you know, everyone else is. So why don't we not? And we'll be a little different. It's kind of a.
It's a great way to pass the time. Again, while driving, I love having the podcast on. And, you know, I think it's cool because there are people that have now listened. And I kid you not, I hear from them every so often. They started at one, have listened all the way through, and then went back and started over. How do you do that?
Well, there are also folks that have tuned into the radio show via the podcast. They started with the podcast, then started listening to the radio show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it's
What's amazing is that there's an entire generation now of people that look at the show. Oh, those guys from TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that time Bubba got, like saying someone goes, hey.
I was tripping out because somebody goes, I walked into a place and I heard, hey, that's a guy on TikTok. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And they were talking about me and I'm like, that's really trippy.
And what's funny is Bubba doesn't even have TikTok. Personally.
I have it. But oh, yeah. I don't ever use. The only reason I have it is so whenever you send me a TikTok, I can open it up and see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Garrett and I were discussing this the other day with social media strategies and all that stuff. But usually, if it is a fact thing, fact-based thing, like the Popeye thing or the threshold thing, and usually the wronger we are, the better they perform because people just want to comment and tell us how stupid we are.
Oh, you just told the recipe now.
Yeah, but people know that.
Oh, it's everybody who makes the garbage recipes on TikTok.
Yeah.
That are like, here's a block of Velveeta and put it in with dry pasta and then bake it and you'll get mac and cheese. And of course, it's nothing but comments of like, you're gross, you know, we should get rid of, you don't deserve a kitchen. And I'm like, all you're doing is boosting this algorithm and she's gonna be making money off this.
Every time you say how much you hate it, it says, it tells the algorithm that you love it.
Yep.
I got, I sold some stuff at the house on Facebook Marketplace and I haven't been on Facebook in years. I see things that pop up like, hey, so-and-so posted a comment about something you, and I don't even look at any of it. But so I was on it anyway. I was kind of like, well, what is, it's completely different than it used to be. Mm-hmm. It's
a lot of ads.
So many ads.
It's a lot. But hey, good for them, I guess.
And it's like, for some reason, it thinks that I have interest in some of the weirder, like I like LiDAR images where it goes, hey, look, we found this thing, you know, using LIDAR in the rainforest.
What is LIDAR?
And it's LIDAR is like a radar laser. It can basically view through the forest and map out what's on the ground.
Okay.
Using lasers to go in between the leaves and all that kind of stuff. And they fly over and they do a grid and then it shows you what's below the trees. Mm-hmm. And so they find all these temples and cities and things that have been lost to the ages. But for some reason, that's all Facebook thinks I want to see. It's the weirdest thing. I bet if I open up my Facebook right now on my phone, one of the first two things is going to be LIDAR. All right. Oh, there's Evan, Missy. Hey, guys. Nope. I'm four deep and no LIDAR. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, I don't get on Facebook. I just go on Facebook and I post and I scooch out because I just don't want to.
That's me on Instagram lately. Yeah. Here's a LiDAR. Yeah, see, look. So it shows you what's below the trees and it's like, hey, here's a weird.
Do you think that was
structure.
What was flying over my butt's house?
What?
Jeremy's house.
Oh, mapping? No.
Yeah, my butt sent me a text one Saturday morning. He goes, hey, man, yesterday or last night, there was this almost silent drone that flew right. He lives out in the middle of nowhere up on top of a big, I won't say hill, but it is a hill, but it's bigger than a hill, you know. And he goes, it wasn't completely quiet. It was like puttering. It was like going like a slow putter. And this
like
guy's
Jetson's car.
This guy's he's really smart, very sharp. And he said lights were coming out of it, and it was like all over his property, and it just kept going. It went directly over his house, and kept on going. And I was like, I don't know what that could be, other than like some sort of an aerial mapping drone of some sort. But he's seen a couple of things. He watched in the middle of the day, a big, bright, round, an orb fly into a valley, sit there and kind of vibrate or rotate. It was movement. And then shot straight up into the sky. And he said it was so fast, like it was gone, 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 gone.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't know either.
So, obviously, the drones that are flying around right now that everybody's been talking about, that's something we're doing, the United States is involved in, and otherwise we would have shot it down. If it was truly an adversary, we've talked about this on the radio show, if it was truly an adversary, we would not let it happen. You just wouldn't. If we felt there was a threat to our military installations from a foreign country, do you let that go? No. And then one of my buddies is like, yeah, we let that balloon go. I'm like, that's different. This is something that, you know, I don't know. Actually, the balloon was a bad thing,
I know.
Too.
I don't think that was a good thing. Yeah.
Totally contradicted myself.
I don't know. You know, I feel like something's going to happen. You guys feel that? You kind of feel like something ought to happen?
Mm-hmm.
No. Bob always thinks something.
I definitely do. Well, I've been watching. We've been moving a lot of troops all over the place. Things are. I don't know where. I don't know if it's going to be Syria, the Middle East. I don't know if it's going to be Ukraine. I don't know what, but things are about to go hot somewhere. That's all. I mean, or maybe even Taiwan. China's running out of time.
What do you mean?
What
do you mean? They're still there.
No, but China is at peak China right now. This is their peak power. Their whole one child per family rule. Basically, what was happening is for decades, people were killing off their female babies because they wanted sons to carry their family name. And so
they could just name the girls the same name.
They could have.
It seems like we've gone a little too far for this.
But yeah, you buck tradition a little
my
bit.
My legacy, though.
So they were doing. They were literally killing off the baby girls so they could have sons. And now China is trying to import. By the way, if you're maybe down on your luck and you need a job, I hear China's hiring ladies. Carson's like, that's weird.
To do what?
To be wives. Like, they're trying to import.
Do I get paid?
Women from all. Oh, I mean, I guess if you get into
a. I'm saying, usually like a.
Influential.
I'm
wasn't that
hired?
Like the Americans buying the Russian wives?
Yeah.
Kinda.
You get paid in house cleaning and cooking.
Right? Like, is this like the aristocracy importing women from the U.S.
to
get their coffers?
You would have to be willing to bear a child. And apparently on their end, it would have to be a son. I don't know. But
have enough sons? Isn't this the problem?
But see, that you don't learn. People don't learn. But anyway, yeah, so China's at peak. You know, if they want to take Taiwan, right now is probably their best chance because their ability to, you know, field a strong military is only going to decline over the next decade.
Did you get this from letfreedomring.org? Is that the source for this?
It's all over, man.
It's
this
kind of
this
kind of
stuff is all
over.
No,
it's
it isn't,
all,
it isn't
no,
from
no,
one
bro.
Of my fringe sites. It's
all
like
over.
It's literally there. Mm. You can Google it yourself.
I don't need to. I'm good.
No, I'm on DuckDuckGo. Don't worry about it.
So I Googled and it says that future wars are not going to be needing a lot of foot soldiers. They need cyborgs.
Oh.
So what's the point of having a bunch of people? We don't need them. We have drones and machines.
Yeah.
So I don't
there
buy
is
that.
Oh, did you see the thing where they were talking about AI will become self-aware by 2028?
Oh, goody.
This is Skynet. We're there. We're there. We're almost to Skynet.
I know who's been naughty and nice.
That's the computer talking. It's going to be like.
They already knew that. They know your browser history.
But I've been, so for Christmas, I've been getting into a couple of videos, speaking of like TikTok and stuff. The Grinch, people who dress up as the Grinch and they come into the room, the house, and they steal their gifts.
So
and the kids scream. It's really sad.
Carson, have we ever talked about your fear of the Grinch?
No, but it's just one of my quirks that I have an irrational fear of the Grinch. I don't like. Even like if you post a picture of the Grinch on Facebook, I don't want to see it.
Even the cartoon Grinch?
No, that's the genesis of it. It's the cartoon. It's not Jim Carrey. I mean, I'm not thrilled with that either. No, it's the cartoon Grinch. I mean, that. Like, oh my
God. If a guy walked in the door right now.
Through the trees. He's an animal abuser. He's creepy. Like, no, he's awful.
He was an animal abuser?
He treated the dog.
Yeah. Are we explaining
hairs here? I don't remember how he treated the dog. I know he put a stick on its head.
Yeah, and then he like makes it with his big old. Like
he makes that little puny dog try to
pull the
sleigh.
Oh, remember, Bubba?
Hundreds of pounds of weight.
I mean, what are you
and that dog
about?
At one point like cowers. For my again, I haven't seen this thing since I was probably 5 or 6, but in my recollection, the dog is not well treated.
Send him in. if a guy came in a Grinch outfit.
Not thrilled.
That would be great.
No.
I've been getting into that. Also been getting into the Elf on a Shelf and the creative ways that they find the Elf on the Shelf the next day. Some people are weird.
Yep, they are.
Yeah, it gets a little
like boundary past the line.
Yep.
Unless they're doing it just for
well, that's more. Is this actually for a child,
or is this for the clicks?
Yeah,
the
it's for the clicks.
So way back when, remember I made that video of the Elf coming to life and whatever.
It's so great.
People are doing that now, and they're so good. They're so
good.
Yeah, I mean, I did mine with a string, and you know, just like it was the dumbest thing ever.
Yours was like this.
My kids fell for it though.
Yeah, yeah.
They were like, "Whoa!" It jumped.
It would be like the comparing these. Frosty the Snowman commercial or cartoon with the stop action animation or whatever to like AI. It was, they've come a long way, man.
Oh, dude. It's there. I mean, people, because they have access to VFX, like actual visual effects that can
on
do
your phone.
Crazy things.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah.
And I'm assuming, I guess, like you can do, they're going to get to a point, maybe it's already there. I want to try out the new Google AI thing.
I showed you the videos the other day. What is it called? Ned or Nev? Or
Yeah.
Something two. Garrett, do you remember what it was?
I forget now. It's unbelievable. Like, I thought, I didn't really understand what he sent me. And so I just clicked it, and I'm watching it, and this is like, you know, Google's come up with a new thing. And
VEO2.
And it was showing these videos of like guys doing like swimming, and there's fish and there's birds and stuff. I'm like, okay, what? These aren't even real. I got almost halfway through, and then finally realized, none of these. This is all AI generated video.
It's the craziest thing, man.
It looked so real.
Have you seen those yet?
It's wild.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you get to the point where you're going to turn the news on, and you're going to get your news from the same person, quote unquote, for decades. They can always have the same person.
Well, they did that Al Michaels thing for the Olympics.
Yes. And you know what was crazy about the Al Michaels AI thing is he recorded his voice. They went and mapped it, quote unquote, or whatever. And then AI would take stats that were on computers and pull it and make his report for him off of those stats.
But
it wasn't even someone typing it out.
But if you think about it, isn't that basically just another step from what you've heard with the commentators on Madden and all the sports games for the past 2 decades?
Actually,
it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, because they would go first down and three.
Well, kind of, because those things are already recorded.
True. The difference is these are live. Yeah.
Yeah. It was making him say words that he didn't record.
Mm.
you know, because it learned. It's, you know, we talked about on the air, I think, a few times, even on the podcast, about the bereavement angle of it all, having a loved one who's passed call you, leave a message, maybe pop up on a your whatever social media.
Here you go, Carson. Take a look at this. I'm going to just show her.
Isn't that crazy?
This right here. Oh, let me hit redo. This is somebody said, generate a beehive. Look at this. That is the person, everything, the bees, everything is completely AI.
I mean, it looks completely real.
It's photorealistic. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. And it's going to get better and better.
Yeah, I was watching. I follow this nutritionist on Instagram, and he will take other people's videos and sometimes debunk them to let you know that, hey, this isn't accurate, whatever. And one of them, it's this woman who claims that she's a doctor, and she's telling you all these things health-wise that you're like, this sounds weird, but it says she's a doctor. And when you look her up, the picture matches. And it was somebody took videos of her that she's done and then generated them to say this other stuff. And there are parts where you can tell that it gets a little wonky. But if you're like, if you're watching on this little tiny screen on your phone and you're not paying that much attention, that it's, yeah, you have to keep telling people, hey, this isn't real.
I love the press conferences, like on after football games where they have the coach saying what the fans are wanting them to say.
Yes.
We suck. We're terrible. Let me tell you something.
I remember the first time I was like, what?
I know. It's like, yes.
Thinking that they actually said it.
Yeah. Those are getting tricky, too. I mean, every week those are getting a little better.
Speaking of, we have games today.
We do.
We have games. I think they're already on.
Mm-hmm. One is currently on as we're doing this.
Oh, nice.
Yes, man. This is the first year of the playoff. Mm-hmm. So we'll have games on Saturday. Well, games all day today. Games all day Saturday, and then all next week? I don't know what the schedule is.
I don't remember with next week.
It's going to be I like it. You know, we've been like going, oh, man, why can't we just have a – I think Bob was the first one to say it. Why can't we have a playoff? I would like March Madness.
I always said I wanted a March Madness for football.
Yeah.
And now we have it. And it's pretty great.
And it should be snowy at Notre Dame tonight with Indiana Notre Dame.
Uh-huh.
That should be fun.
What's we were talking about the percentage that viewership goes up on a snow game quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because people like.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's watching a game on a snow globe. It's fun. It's fun.
I'm excited to listen to it on my drive.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited to have football. That's like the best part about traveling in the fall and through the winter is if you're on a long drive, is like, you know, I got football, though.
You know what's weird is my kids, I would do that sometimes. I would put a game on, like, let's say if Frankie and I were coming back from my parents' house, and he totally cannot get into a game on the radio. I'm like, how? He's like, I don't know what's going on. I'm like, no, just listen. They tell you where they're at and what's happening. And he's like, yeah, but I'm kind of lost. I'm like, how do you not? Yeah. I don't know. I love listening to a football game. And Schaefer does play-by-play.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that whole feel of just immersing yourself in it. And on a drive where you're looking for something to do, and you're looking for some company.
Yeah, there's also something interesting about not having the visual, that as much as you can watch an amazing play, that when you're listening to someone else try to describe it to you, like let's say someone just like launches that ball in the air, and it's going to hang there for a couple of seconds, and he's like, oh, and then whatever, let's say a dude catches it, we're going to touchdown, and whoever it is, commentator usually erupts.
Yeah.
And it's actually a more exciting feeling than having watched it yourself, I feel, for me. It's I really enjoy it, listening to it on the radio.
I listen to it's not a podcast, it's something on Spotify where it's fake old radio calls.
Oh, yeah.
We did that on the show one day.
And it'll knock me out. They also have old games that you can pull up, like baseball games from like the 50s and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
60s.
That's fun.
Like the actual broadcast?
Game. Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of neat. But there's a certain magic to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like listen to the Opry on the AM, straight off the AM, man, with the staticky, going to our bridge.
Funny you say that. I was actually listening to that station last night, and it was Johnny Cash and June Carter with If I Were a Carpenter, but it was coming in perfectly clear, as if they were right there performing it in front of you. There's just a certain magic to that.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Anyway.
All right. Are we about done?
Well, Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas
Merry
to everyone.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
And don't forget your pets whenever you're buying your gifts and stuff for the fam. Because they need love, too.
Yeah.
They're not kids.
And you probably love them more
than the family.
And
it's something else for somebody to open under a tree. That's how I look. I never know what to get my parents. So I'm like, I got your dogs a bunch of stuff.
Oh,
that way they can open.
Yeah,
Oh, by the way, we're not getting not doing a tree this year.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you if y'all decided.
Yeah, we decided on it. Kathy was like, okay, if we're not doing a tree, we're going to load up everything with all kinds of decorations in this house. And that means me and the boys going to pull all the stuff out.
Wait, you haven't have you decorated yet?
No.
What?
No.
The day after Halloween, man.
Is it 5 days?
Yeah.
Yes, it is 5 days from Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this point, why are you bothering? I mean,
that's what I said. I keep pushing that. So I'm like,
I mean, love you guys, but like,
I mean, we could give you all this medication, but you're probably not going to make it anyway.
Yeah.
I put my stuff up the day after Halloween. November 1st, everything was up. And I was the second or third person in my neighborhood. It made me very happy.
Now, are you kind of sick of the Christmas stuff now?
No.
No.
There's something special about being there, having all the lights off except for the tree, and having the glow from the tree is the best.
That's it. I haven't turned on a light switch in a month and a half.
Yeah. At night, I walk around because my
I got my tree.
Yeah, my tree's on a timer, and it turns off during the day until I get home, and then it's like done, and I just love that. Yeah. I fell asleep on the sofa last night under the light of the tree. Oh. It was amazing.
Sounds like you're drunk.
I was not drunk.
Bubba had a long day yesterday.
I had a very long day.
Yeah. You got a lot done, man.
Got a lot done.
Yeah,
you send me picture updates and stuff.
And I was even after the Christmas party today that we had in the studio with Co Wetzel, I then immediately started tearing everything down. And Garrett's like, why'd you take the cameras down? I'm like, So I had to put all the cameras back. I say I had to. Yeah. Garrett had to put all the cameras back up. But I took all the tinsel and everything down. And I'm like, it feels naked in here.
Let's put it this way. Yesterday was so long that I even said, dude, I'm out. You do whatever you want, but I'm going home.
Yeah. And I was here a while later.
You were.
But I got a lot done. And it's going to be a good Christmas because I won't have anything left.
Did you find anything that you were like, oh, wow, I've been looking for this?
Yeah, I found all kinds of crazy stuff, especially the old cartoons, the Big D and Bubba cartoons and things like that. I found that stuff, but mainly it's just a bunch of, I'm a dude and I never throw a wire away.
Oh,
I need this charger one day. I might need this.
Yeah.
I threw so much crap away yesterday.
I'm looking at this. Is that a jar of sand from D-Day?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
Someone brought that to us.
So it was Tommy, by the way. Tommy at the Mississippi Military Museum in Hattiesburg, which is a great museum. You should go see it. And
used
Tommy's
to be at the
guy.
World War II one, right?
He used to be at the World War II Museum, and he's done a great job at the Mississippi Museum. And this is Omaha Beach sand.
Wow.
I'm like, that's the coolest. So
that's pretty neat.
And that's one of the things that I found in here. I'm like, that's actually kind of cool. And I don't know what to do with it now.
I thought it was cinnamon sugar. Thank you.
All right.
So Merry Christmas, everyone.
All right. Stick around after the closing jingle because we do have the guy about the treasure hunt that we were talking about.
Oh, fascinating.
Earlier. John Collins Black.
I can see you doing that.
Oh,
I can see you going out there
I ordered the book.
You did?
I ordered the book, and I'm going to see if Frankie wants to help kind of decode the stuff because I think it's cool because it's a generational thing, too, because I will see clues differently than he does.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to help us kind of figure it out.
D, we're off for 2 weeks. You know he's going to be out there searching.
I'm going to get pictures of him.
There's no doubt.
And he's going to put mud on his face, and, you know.
Well, according to the guy, John said we don't have to dig, so I won't be muddy. Anyway, Merry Christmas to you guys.
Merry Christmas.
I hope, and you know what, to all of you, Carson, Garrett, Schaefer, thank you for another amazing year here at Silverfish. And thanks to Compass, our friends there and our partners, we love you guys. It has been a crazy year, and looking forward to 2025 and all the new things that it's going to bring. And just thank you. Thank you all.
Hear, hear.
Do you have a close?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's the same one, yeah.
No, okay.
That one doesn't change.
It's a podcast, but now it's over.
But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio. It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
I like them together as a couple.
Yeah.
They're cute.
Yeah, they're
I
cute.
Know who's been naughty and nice.
Hey, John Collins Black is an author. Hey, John, how are you, man? Good morning.
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Hey, we're good. All right, so I was just telling Bubba about how exciting this is. This book teaches us how to get some treasure.
Okay, so basically, to break it down for you, I spent the better part of the last 5 years hiding five treasure boxes in five different locations across the country. So there's millions of dollars of treasure in these treasure boxes. And I wrote a book called There's Treasure Inside that has all the clues that you need to find any or all of the treasure boxes that I've hidden.
How did you do? I mean, because obviously you had to have somebody helping you in, you know, going through and vetting the clues and all that kind of stuff in the hiding places, because you don't want these things to be hidden in a place where people could just stumble upon them. How do you know that that other person is going to keep it quiet and not leak out the secrets?
Yeah, so there is no other person. That's part of the reason it took me close to 5 years, because I pretty much had to do every aspect of this project on my own. So when it came to acquiring the objects, writing the book, hiding the treasures, and it wasn't easy. You know, I originally had this idea of, well, five treasures would be better than one, because then everyone would have, you know, the chance or maybe the thought that there would be something close enough for them to go look for. But hiding five treasures is a beast.
So what is all...
I had to...
What is all in this? Like, you've got all kinds of... It's not just money.
No. I mean, there's no, like, cash. There's gold and precious metals and valuable rare gems. But the what really makes up most of the treasure is about 65 to 70 very unique. Some of them are one-of-a-kind objects that I acquired. I have a lot of historical objects, things that were owned by Pablo Picasso, Amelia Earhart, George Washington, Andrew Carnegie, and the list goes on. And I also have things like also physical Bitcoin, rare Pokemon cards, sports memorabilia, shipwreck treasure. So there's just the gold medals. There's all different types of objects in these treasures.
Yeah, I see the gold medal on your website, treasureinside.com. It's like an actual gold medal from the Olympics.
Oh, that's sweet.
Somebody's gold medal from Atlanta in 96. I mean, there's some crazy things here. And I, as a dude who loves adventure, thinks that this is a brilliant idea.
How much are these worth, you think, John?
You mean all the items in total?
Like each one.
He's got, no, dude, when he says he's got, well, there's like 40 things.
It all cost me various amounts. I mean, I have some objects in the treasure which cost me, you know, over six figures. Some were less. I mean, cumulatively, the treasure is probably worth in the $3 million range at this moment. I mean, the items continue to go up in value because they're rare or one of a kind, and things like gold and Bitcoin continue to go up in value. So since the day I actually acquired all these objects, and today, the value has increased substantially.
Has anyone gotten kind of close to finding it, or do you know?
I get lots of emails with people very confident that they're close to finding one of the boxes or another box. But I don't have any reason to believe any boxes have been found. And it's the winter season now in most parts of the country, so a lot of places it isn't really safe or advisable to be searching for boxes. We'll see in the spring if anything gets found next year, but I don't know. I don't know if they will.
Are any of these boxes located in a city, or is everything rural?
Yeah, so I have some parameters that I've spelled out in the book as far as like best practices and kind of narrowing things down a little bit. First of all, there's nothing on private land. So that rules out anything that's on private land. And you don't have to go through private land. The other thing is that they're all hidden in safe places. There's no reason to do anything dangerous. You don't need special equipment.
Okay.
But other than that, I don't really narrow it down. So it could be closer to an urban area, or it might be more rural.
So are they all?
Or they might be a combination.
Are they all like buried, or are they not buried?
That's a great question, because a lot of people kind of default to the term buried. They assume that it's buried treasure. They're not buried, and that's important, because I don't want people taking a shovel and disturbing or digging up public lands. So I made sure that there was no reason to disturb any public lands when you find the box.
Okay. And so whenever, by the way, treasureinside.com is the website. There's Treasure Inside by John Collins Black is the book. But if you're out there searching for this treasure and you find it, is there a way, like when they do find it, is there something in the box that tells them to contact you?
Yeah. Is there like, instructions?
That way you can verify if something's been found or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only did I tell them how to contact me, but also I gave them an incentive to do so. So it's not 100% sure that someone will let me know, but I feel pretty confident they will.
Okay. Okay. And the clues are in the book. The book is called There's Treasure Insights. Brilliant.
I'm getting this right now. I'm on Amazon ordering it as we're doing this interview.
The website is treasureinside.com. Treasureinside.com. What a great gift, too.
Dude, there's a moon rock.
What?
Yeah, there's a moon rock.
Dang it.
As part of this treasure.
All right. John, thank you, man. We appreciate the time, and good luck. We'll see what happens.
Happy hunting.
See you, John.
All right, take care.